You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Good morning. What a beautiful day it is. Our scripture reading is in Matthew 28, if you'd turn there, please. Begin reading at verse 1 through 6. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of this, your holy word, because we ask it in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen.
I hope you will turn in your Bibles to the scripture reading that we had in Matthew chapter 28, the first six verses. We're going to talk about that some this morning. This is certainly is appropriate on Easter Sunday. Now, let me, I just want to get some things out of the way, because many of us sometimes have a certain amount of a cynical attitude toward holidays, especially religious holidays. We who are far advanced scripturally just know better. And we just, every day's alike as far as we're concerned. I hope you remember that when your birthday comes up and we forget it. We're just going to say we're spiritual and every day's alike as far as we're concerned. We certainly don't want to get caught up in tradition. Not all tradition is bad. Not all of it's good, but not all of it's bad. So some of those things we might as well get out and open. Some people come up and say, well, you know, a holiday is just a shortcut for a holy day, and every day with Jesus is good. And it is. But if you go through the Bible, you'll see that even Christ himself had some high days in his life. One of them that took place right before his crucifixion, called the Passover. And he told his disciples how many times he wanted to keep the Passover with them. There are those who say, well, the only time anybody goes to church, the only reason they do that is so they dress up and look pretty. I knew a pastor that just got up on Easter morning to his congregation, and he said, to many of you, I'd like to wish you Merry Christmas, because I won't see you again till next Easter. I wouldn't quite go that far. There are others who say, well, Easter's a pagan holiday, and that's how it began. It was derived from the Saxon goddess Ishtar, the same as Astar, the Syrian Venus. Been a lot of comments in Acts chapter 12. Hold your finger there, Matthew, for a moment, and just flip over there if you would to Acts chapter 12, because the word Easter is used in the Bible, and that for those that want to claim to be smarter in the Bible at times, say this is not a good word. If you notice, beginning with verse 1 of Acts 12, it said, now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in the prison and delivered him to four quarterions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And I guess everybody just about would say, well, the word ought to be Passover there. And for those that are Greek scholars, I'm amazed we've got people that are Greek scholars. I've never met anybody that said he's an English scholar. But we've got Greek scholars that English is their first language. But for those that would go to that, the word is Passover. Pascha, which is Passover. But the truth of the matter is, the people who translated this knew enough Bible to know that Passover would be a very bad, wrong translation here. So that's why they put Easter. Because if you go back and see that the Passover began, it was one day, a time of the meal. This was to commemorate the Exodus from Egypt. And they began the Passover, and the Jews kept this day. Then the next days that followed, the entire week, was called the Days of Unleavened Bread. They had the Passover and then the Unleavened Bread Feast. Now, notice that he said, these, verse 3, then were the Days of Unleavened Bread. If it had been the Passover that he was going to wait until after, then they couldn't be the Days of Unleavened Bread, because the Days of Unleavened Bread came after the Passover, not before. We find that in the book of Leviticus. We find that throughout the Bible. We find that when Jesus Christ talked about it. He wanted to keep the Passover with his disciples. He couldn't keep the Days of the Unleavened Bread with them because he was crucified before those were over with. But he could keep the Passover. And he talked about this time and again. So, now, Herod, by the way, the reason that Herod wanted to wait till after Easter, he cared less about the Passover. He's a rebellious hellion. He doesn't care, but he does care about a pagan holiday that they called Easter. This is correct. Also, we have those that want to argue about the bunny rabbits and the colored eggs and that they're contrary to Scripture. Well, so are ties, but we got one on. I don't read of anybody wearing a tie in Scripture. Oh, speaking of that website, the last time I was here, Charlie commented on my tie. He said, that's a pretty tie. Nobody ever said it to me before, so I just gave it to him. I said, here, take my tie. In a little bit, Champ comes and says, we want to take your picture. I just assume that Champ probably wanted to put it in the garden or something. So he took my picture. Then put it on a website without a tie. I don't look too good in one, but it really looked lousy. You know, what a flake. Man, the guy wouldn't even wear a tie to drink. Mm-hmm. With a white shirt. I mean, if you've got a t-shirt, that's different. If you've got a sports shirt, that's different. You don't wear ties with t-shirts. You don't wear them with sports shirts. But, you know, I thanks, Champ. Alright. Now let's talk about some errors regarding Easter. Back when I was younger, many years ago, I had a message entitled, The Era of Easter, The Lunacy of Lent, and The Fable of Good Friday. There are just a lot of things that are not in the Bible. We don't have anything in the Bible about Lent. You know, and at that time I was living in an area that was about 50% Catholic. And they all observed Lent. I've got where I observe it. I will eat no boiled cabbage, artichokes. I will not eat that type of stuff during Lent. I just give it up. That's because I'm dedicated. We have Palm Sunday. I don't quite understand what that means, Palm Sunday. But many churches recognize that was last Sunday. Recognize Palm Sunday. Then we have Ash Wednesday. I remember because I was teaching school and many of the children in that class were Hispanic and they were Catholic. And all of them came to class that particular day. And it's my first day. Now I was raised down in a little bitty town in Texas. And it wasn't the end of the world. You could see it from there, though. But they all came and they had this deal on their foreheads. I wanted to watch their face. They said you couldn't do that. I didn't realize that they this is supposed to be ashes that the priest puts out for Ash Wednesday. I never have picked up on what Ash Wednesday was for, really. But I guess it's okay if you don't mind getting ashes on. Then there's Good Friday. This really thrills me because we all commemorate Good Friday. But the truth of the matter is, if Christ rose on the first day of the week, that's today, Sunday. Sunday's the first day of the week. Not the seventh day, it's the first day. If he rose on the first day of the week, and we know that because in the 28th chapter here of the book of Matthew that we're going to read, it tells us about it being on the first day of the week. At the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Now, the Sabbath's over. We're starting at the first day of the week. Now, that's when Christ arose. Now, the Bible said, Christ himself said, that as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. You can't get 3 days and three nights from Friday, anytime Friday, to Sunday morning. You just can't do it. That's Friday night, Saturday night. Oops. We only got two nights. Any way you would count the day, count a day and a night as 1 hour, count it a full day if you want to, or a full night. But he said 3 days, three nights. You've got to get all three of those in there. You've got to at least have part of them. Can't do that. I don't know what difference that would make whatsoever because it will not affect whether anybody goes to heaven or goes to hell if you miss that. And so if you want to commemorate Good Friday, no problem. I don't know exactly how you would do that, but there are some eras regarding Easter that are traditions that are maybe a little wrong. But now then, what does Easter mean to you? Let's get away from all these other things. Let's talk about just you and I. What does Easter mean to you and I? And I think maybe, and there's a lot of things we get involved in, the hullabaloo, we talk about the resurrection because that's really what Easter ought to mean. But have you ever just gone back and tried to walk with Peter or with some of these other disciples, James and John, and try to relive those days with them? Remember, here's some people who have given their life to follow one who they know is the coming king. They have walked away from their careers to follow Jesus Christ. They have seen him turn the water to wine. What a miracle. They have seen him in the midst of the storm say, "Peace, be still." And they said, "What kind of man in this that can command the wind and the rain to stop?" And it stops. What kind of person is this? They see him walking on water. Very simple test. All these people that claim to have the power of God on them and they can do this and they can do that, just say, "Walk on water." "Well, I can heal the sick." "Well, but can you walk on water?" I noticed one big healer is going to start raising the dead, but he said in all probability America's too jaded, so he just do it in a foreign country. Yeah, right. But will you walk on water? Very simple. That'd be an easy test to prove. People say, "We can do all the miracles that Jesus did. We can even do more miracles than Jesus did." Okay, walk on water. Here came one. They saw him multiply the loaves and the fishes. They heard him speak things that thrilled their heart. And then one day, after a prayer meeting out in the garden, armed troopers come to get him. If you watch some of the television yesterday of some of our armed stormtroopers, you might get the picture of what happened at Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here they came with their torches of light to lighten up the garden to get the light of the world. Huh? They came and grabbed Jesus Christ because they're going to kill him with their swords drawn. They're going to kill him. And all of a sudden, at least 11 of them began to duck and dodge. The Bible says that they all forsook him. You remember Peter and John go in to this so-called trial, this kangaroo court, as it were. And they... Christ had told Peter, because Peter said, I'll follow you anywhere. In fact, when Christ told him he was going to die, oh, Peter said, no, you're not. We're not going to let that happen. And he said, Simon, before that old rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter said, no, I won't. I'll die first. But you know what? Three times. Somebody would say, you're one of them, Peter. Yeah, you're one of Jesus' followers. And Jesus said, no, I'm not. I don't know the man. He even used some profanity one time. Said, no, I'm not. But the third time he said, no, I'm not. After the third accusation, he hears that rooster crow. Bible said he went out and wept. Peter, the one who was the strongest when it came to self-exertion, when it came to pushing for what he wanted, the one who seemed to have more courage than anybody in the group, failed at his strongest point. But not only did Peter, they all forsook him and fled. And I'm sure they're wondering, what is going on? We were building. We had it made. And then they see him led out to Calvary. And he dies. Their Savior dies. What is this? Because he said that he was going to be the king of the Jews. And they're crucifying him up there with all the felons, the thieves, the scum of Rome and Jerusalem. And look at this. Our Savior, just as a common thief. And then they take him down off the cross because he's dead. He's dead. My walk with Peter now. Walk with John and Jane. Hey guys, he's dead. We've lost. We were wrong. Where did we go wrong? How did we miss it? Oh, we sometime that will look at them and say, well, surely they should have read the Scripture and know that on the third day, because he told them, on the third day, he explained to them what's going to happen. But see, they didn't believe that. You and I kind of like that. The Word can tell us something, but we're smarter than that. We want to diagram it and analyze it instead of just believing it. And he told them up front, third day, I'm going to rise again. He'd already told him, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. Do you think on the third day, do you think on this morning that everybody that old Peter yelled to the rest of the disciples and said, "You guys get up, it's the third day, glory"? No way. They're whipped. They have forgotten all about this. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And they came, and other gospels tell us that they came to add some more ointment and spices for his body. They came to take care of a dead body. They didn't come to see him risen. They came to pay their respects to a dead body. Verse 2, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." He didn't roll it back for Jesus to get out. We'll find that Jesus is already gone. He rolled it back so people could look and see that he was gone. But he sat upon it, and his countenance was like lightning, in his raiment white as snow. And for the fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Those guards that they had out there to protect that stone, when that angel came from heaven. And I love this about the Bible. We got these little old bitty angels, these little cherub things floating around. I don't know if any angel in the Bible had wings. Okay? But we got them floating around going to do good, and we got them pulling the arrows going to break your heart. I'm going to tell you what, when an angel showed up in the Bible, people hit the deck. That's Greek. Hey, they were scared. Say, when an angel came in. When an angel came in, he brought authority and power. Notice the keepers. I like that. The keepers did shake and became as dead men. Man, all of a sudden, here comes the angel of the Lord down here. "And the angel answering and said unto the women, Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified." And that's exactly who they were seeking. They were seeking the crucified one. They weren't seeking the risen one. Oh, I like this about the gospel. It's twofold. He died on the cross for our sins, according to the scripture, was buried, and rose again the third day, according to the scripture. That's part of it. Now then, he said, which was crucified. Verse 6, "He is not here, for he is risen." Can you imagine? Think with me just a moment. Try to stand out with them. Try to be with Peter and all of them as they're gathered together behind closed doors somewhere because they're scared to death. What are they going to do to us now? And somebody comes in and said, "He's risen." And they said, as we would say, "You've lost it. You know better than that. Don't come in here. We've got problems and you're being frivolous. He's risen. He's not there anymore. He's alive." On the other Gospels, Christ says, go tell Peter. Old Peter needs to hear this. Because Peter's had 3 days of hell, believe me. Because the last thing he's done, the last thing he said is deny his Lord and watch him die. Go tell Peter. He's risen. The greatest story in all the world. You want to disprove it? If the world wants to disprove this, if the powers that be in this world at life, at this message, want to disprove this, it's very simple. Simplest thing in the world is to disprove this message. It was simple 2,000 years ago. It's simple today. All you got to do is produce a body. If he's dead, show me the body. Isn't it amazing that these Pharisees who wanted him dead, they're the only ones that remembered that Jesus said, "In 3 days I'll get up from there." Many times it's the world's crowd that remembers what the Bible says. They said, we're going to stop that. We'll put a stone out there. We'll put an army out there to guard that so that he can't come alive. And when they went back in and said, we don't know what happened, they said, well, we'll just lie about it and say the disciples stole him. And here's some money to say that, but you know not one disciple was indicted for that. Not one disciple was called upon down before the district attorney and say, okay, boys, what'd y'all do with the body? Not one of them was called up. Because deep in their heart, they knew he'd risen too. He is risen. On this hinges mining your entire hope. Let me tell you what I like about Easter and what I like about Christmas is that two times a year, the world, lost and saved, must recognize the world in some form or fashion hears about Jesus Christ twice a year. That's 4,000 times in the last 2,000 years. And now, especially, they hear it much, much more so with our satellites and our networking of television stations and all of this. That gospel message. So, the only time I go to church is on Easter. Well, praise God. I'm glad I got you today. See? That'd be better than you sitting home whittling and spitting. That's Greek too. All of a sudden, their defeat, so defeated. I want to tell you something else. Because I know some of you have gone through some hard times. I know some of you lost some loved ones. That just broke your heart. He's risen. He's risen. Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. He said, let me tell you, this life doesn't finish it because he lives. I got a daddy there. Because he lives, I've got a son that I'm going to get to see again. Because he lives, I've got some friends. Since the last time I was with you, got a longtime friend of mine, over 40 years. We started college together. Played football together. Stayed friends ever since. The night that I walked the aisle and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, as I was going down, I looked across and on the other aisle, equal with me, he came and trusted Christ as his Savior. He's had a lot of problems through the years. Booze has just ruined his life. But we did. I had him in Odessa. Had him in treatment. And he was doing great. Got him out of there and things were going well and got him busy and he was back studying his Bible and reading and things were going good. And his mama was in a nursing home, Madisonville, Texas. And he and his brother had asked me, said, when mama dies, would you do mama's funeral? She'd been in that home for 5 years. And so anyway, we got a call from his brother. And he said, mama's in bad shape. They don't think she'll make it through the week. So this friend of mine goes on to Madisonville. And he's going to get some more of his stuff. We'd already got him an apartment. We'd got him a place to live. And he was coming back to Odessa. And he was going to work with us and just be there. And we were looking forward to this. And so I got a call on a Wednesday morning that mother passed away and the funeral was going to be the next afternoon. So I got some things cleared up and Linda packed my clothes and I took off driving to Madisonville, Texas. When I got to Madisonville that night and called his brother to tell him, because Linda, I talked to Linda by phone and she said, Bobby said, call as soon as you get in town. Doesn't make any difference how late it is. You call him. So I did. He said, I'll meet you at the motel. And so he came out to the motel and he said, I don't know any other way to say this. And this friend of mine's nickname was Bullet. We called him Bullet. I call him that because he's all shot. But really, it's because the way his head was. He'd never had much hair. And in the latter years, he just shaved it, and his head looked like a bullet. But we called him Bullet. And he said Bullet was killed this afternoon in a car. I've never had this experience, but I did that. I did two funerals at once. I did Bullet, and I did Bullet's mama. But you know what? Because he's risen. I see him again. He is risen. Every hope that I've got is because he lives. And because he lives, we're going to win. God's children have got a day coming. Because he lives. Yes, it gets rough sometimes. Yes, there's some heartaches. Yes, there's some loneliness. There's things that seem to go wrong. Our world seems to be cascading downhill, morally, ethically, every way that you look at it, except technically. It seems that our states and our leaders, our churches, things are just going downhill. Doesn't anybody care anymore? Let me tell you, he's risen. Before this day is over, he might just step over and say, come on home, and we'd be manifested in glory. I like that. You say, well, I don't think it's going to happen. Well, I think it might, and don't confuse me. Okay? I'm kind of enjoying it. All right? Sometime, I see many people who study the Bible. There's a guy, I've known him for years, many, many years. Knew him before he knew the mystery, and before I knew the mystery, and now we both know the mystery. But I get letters from him every month or two. He gets in studies that just really impress me. The last one, are we going to have memory in heaven? I don't care. I don't care how many angels can sit on a pinhead. I don't care if God can create a rock too big for him to lift. I don't get into that junk. This guy's got way too much time. He needs to be talking. Let me tell you. He needs to be talking to somebody and telling them he's risen. We need to get out and reach those people and tell them the story of Christ. We work with some folks in the jails and in the prisons. We work some people got some real problems. And not one of them care whether we're going to have memory or not when we get in heaven. What they need to know, am I going to heaven? Can I know beyond a shadow of a doubt? They need to know these things. That's what's important. They need some help. We work with some people that say, don't come over here and pat me on the back and say, I'm going to pray for you. I'm hungry. Well, I'll pat him on the back, say, I'm going to pray for you, but while I'm praying for you, here, eat. Here's something to eat. We need to get back down to where they were. And I'm telling you, that day, he is risen. And you know what? But you know what these people did when that angel told them that he's risen? Not one of them said, well, I'll make a note of that. And at the next meeting, I'll bring that up. And ask them, did you know? I know something you don't know. No, they didn't do that. They went and told somebody. And then that one went and told somebody else. As we finish, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 24. Same time period. Same situation. As far as they know, Christ is still in the tomb. Verse 13. Luke 24:13, behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, And as they talked together of all these things which had happened, it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which have come to pass here in these days? And he said unto him, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. And now the chief priests and our rulers have delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should redeem Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found out his body, found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said. But him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? God's got a program. This was God's plan. It was his plan to redeem you and I. Without the cross, without the suffering, without the death, we couldn't get to heaven. But now he's risen. And then he began. It says, in beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now let's jump down to verse 30. It came to pass as he set it meat with them. He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were open. Did you notice that their eyes were not open until he broke the bread? Get the picture. What'd they see when he broke the bread? Those nail-pierced hands. When they saw that, said their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while we talked with him and while he opened us the scripture? This is what I want. You say, brother, I believe the Bible is inspired. Yeah, but are you? Am I? If we have the inspired word, oughtn't you and I be inspired? Ought not our hearts burn within us when we talk about Jesus Christ? I want that. And I think if we want it, God will get it to us. That's that. With the time we've got left, whatever it might be, that our hearts would burn within us, that we'd want to tell people about a Savior who's risen. Let's bow our heads. Close your eyes just for a moment. We'll soon be through. Thank you for being here. But you say, the truth of the matter is, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I want to be. I want to know this Jesus that arose. But I'm not sure. Would you pray for me? Would you tell me maybe how to do that? I'm not sure. I'm God's child. If that's your situation, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, nobody's looking around, would you slip your hand up and put it back down? Just slip it up and put it back down. I'm not sure that I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Okay. As far as I know, your testimony is that we're all God's children. Now, Father, we pray that you would help us and our hearts to burn within us. Thank you for the time we've had today. Thank you for reminding us again that you're risen and what that consummated in those 3 days of heartache and sadness and burden. We thank you for that. Bless your people that have come today. Inspire us to be what you'd have us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.